Hello and welcome to our next adventure in the Dive and Dig podcast, bringing you breaking news from around the globe, the latest exciting discoveries in the world of maritime archaeology. I'm Dr. Lucy Blue and I represent the Honor Frost Foundation, a charitable organisation that supports maritime archaeological research in the Eastern Mediterranean. The Foundation has been supporting a really exciting project off the coast of Malta for the last 4 years, and I'm here with the excavation director, Dr. Timmy Gambin from the University of Malta, and he's going to tell me about some really exciting recent finds.
Good morning, Lucy. Thank you very much for having me back on the podcast.
Absolute pleasure. It's always great to hear from you, Timmy. And the site that you're working on is so exciting. Tell us first about the context of the site, because not all our listeners have necessarily heard about this amazing Phoenician shipwreck.
Well, very briefly, a number of years ago, we discovered this site at a depth of 110 metres. Initially, we did most of the studies remotely, but we took a decision that we needed to dive it ourselves to get more information. At the time, many thought it couldn't be done. Thankfully, the Honor Frost Foundation believed in our project. It supported the first diver surveys. After that, we took it up a notch and decided to try and excavate. Its uniqueness, it's only one of seven Phoenician shipwrecks around the world. So its uniqueness, I think, elevated the need for us to excavate and get more information. And that's what we did for 4 years.
I mean, it's amazing, really. A site that's over 2,500 years old and 110 metres in depth. And I know that you found bits of hull and a cargo, but there's one particular find that came up this last season that was just really quite remarkable.
Yes, there were many remarkable finds, but one, as you rightly say, stands out amongst the rest. And this is a human tooth, Lucy, not something we are used to finding in shipwrecks. There have been human remains discovered in various shipwrecks around the world, but then it's not very common.
I hadn't realised it was a human tooth. And how do you know? What sort of analysis are you? How do you know it's? Is it a man or a woman?
We have a number of animal bones from the site, so that your question as to whether it's a human tooth or not is a very pertinent one, because it could well be that, you know, the animal bones form part of the foodstuffs that the crew were carrying and so on. But we've had it seen remotely through photos by a dentist. We now have another dentist who's actually coming to see it physically. But this is the first time that this information is coming out publicly. We can now confirm, A, that it is human, it is a molar. But the latest indications, and this is the strangest thing yet, Lucy, is that it belongs to a child of no older than 5.
Wow, a 5-year-old child on this ship. That's remarkable. What was this kid doing there?
That is a very big question.
$100 question. I mean, that's not what you'd expect, is it? You'd think about crew and, you know, people dealing with, you know, sailing the vessel or sorting out the cargo. You wouldn't expect even in the medieval period to find a 5-year-old child on a boat. That's just remarkable. Maybe, do you think it constitutes a family?
It's a question for which the exact answer, unless the ship is fully excavated and, you know, more remains are found, for which the exact answer, I do not believe we will ever get to the exact answer. And I'll tell you why, because there are various potential answers, and each one is more intriguing / mysterious than the other. Let's start from the obvious, Lucy, that there was a 4 or 5-year-old child on the ship. Now, as you said, if it was a 12 or 13-year-old, I can imagine in antiquity sort of children of that age already being exposed, or some kind of cabin boy or cabin girl, just as they had in early modern times. But a 4 or 5 year old, so you know, the first question is, okay, it was a child, but what is a child doing on a trading vessel? Could it be, you know, the son or daughter of the owners? But it's mysterious. It's we have no information whatsoever about children, you know, traveling on this. So that's one potential scenario. Second is, could it be, as you rightly said, because that's the second thing that came to my mind, sort of a family that's moving towards a new colony? Let's just remind our listeners that this shipwreck dates to 700 BC, which is, you know, which is a period in Mediterranean history where people are moving out of the Greek peninsula. They're moving out of what is today Lebanon, and they're moving all over the Mediterranean, including into the Black Sea, and they're forming colonies. So these are early days in Phoenician colonies. So they could be being replenished with, let's say, fresh families. Who knows? The third scenario, the third hypothesis, working hypothesis, is that the father of the child would have passed away on land normally, you know, and the one of the parents carried this tooth as a memento. Now, as I said, you know, it's impossible to tell unless we fully excavate the wreck, see if there are any other human remains. So there are these three hypotheses. I'm sure that our listeners, you know, will come up with more. This is one of the beautiful things of our job, Lucy, as you well know, that, you know, we literally dig up mysteries sometimes, that, you know, the mysteries that we excavate actually create more, let's say, problems or questions than they actually answer. But that's a nice thing to have. That's a nice problem to have.
So can you just describe to our listeners the preservation of a tooth that's been sitting on the seabed for over 2,500 years? I mean, does it look like it's just come out of, been extracted from the dentist's chair, or what sort of state of preservation is it in?
Okay, so let me just explain how it was found. We excavate the site in a normal way. So if you look at the photos of our excavation, we may as well be excavating in 12 meters of water, or, you know, so there isn't any difference. What we do is we collect the spoil after every day of excavating. So for those that are not underwater archaeologists, we use what is in essence an underwater vacuum cleaner to shift the sediments. We have a filter on the intake to make sure that small objects don't get sucked in, because something like the tooth would have gone straight through the water dredge, which is this underwater vacuum, and it would have been lost or broken for good. So what we do is, after every day of excavation, we gather all the loose sediments, so it's kind of in a secondary context, and then we take the sediments up to the surface and sieve them and sift through them quite thoroughly. And it is within the context of one of these sieving sessions, you know, generally we find small fragments of wood, small fragments of pottery that, you know, the excavator would have missed. In this case, you know, one of the things that was in this bag of spoil, so to speak, of loose sediments, was this human tooth. It is absolutely perfectly preserved.
It must have been remarkable for the person that actually found it. You sort of do a double take, I would imagine. Is this, you know, am I actually seeing what I believe is, the, you know, a tooth? Is this really?
I'll confess, it was in my spoil bag. So I mean, but I will confess again that I had no idea that the spoil I was putting into the bag contained the tooth. It was only in the afternoon when I went back to base for the evening debriefing that Jean-Christophe Sorisseau and Maya Sausmerkat, who were doing the sieving that evening, sort of, you know, showed me this tooth. The state of preservation, as I said, is great, but because the tooth is so young, it has no roots, and we are now exploring possible avenues of research based on this tooth.
I like your hypothesis. I particularly love the idea of fresh families. But, I mean, what direction, what sort of science are you going to throw at this tooth in order to start extracting a little bit more information out of it?
Lucy, we're at a very important crossroad when it comes to this one object, because to extract DNA, which is one of the things that we would love to do, is this child from Lebanon? Was this child born in the Phoenician colony in Malta? You know, was this child from Tunisia, from Carthage? We'd really, really, you know, it's not every day that we can quite literally put our fingers on ancient DNA. However, the process to extract DNA is rather destructive, without a guaranteed result. So we are, the tooth is safely stored in refrigerated conditions, of course, until a decision is taken. There are various avenues, and this boils down not only to sort of a cost-benefit analysis between research and heritage value, it also boils down to actual heritage management. So what are the options? And I'm not saying that we've decided on any of these avenues, but it's important to explain to our listeners that, you know, not everything's straightforward. So kind of found tooth will display, or found tooth will have info on DNA. There are all these kind of interstices, you know, at play. So one of the options we're looking at, Lucy, is to do a very detailed, high-resolution scan of the tooth and print it, have it printed in 3D. So I personally believe that the scientific knowledge we can get out of this tooth merits even risking its destruction, etc. As long as we have two or three 3D printouts that can eventually be displayed and kept in a reserve collection, for example, and as long as we don't lose all the tooth to current tests, because there may be technologies that come around in 5, 10, 15 years time which are less destructive, etc. So in reality, we want to know, you know, sort of the age, the sex of the person, and, you know, hopefully the origin. And then there are other tests, I'm told by some very clever people, that would be able to tell us aspects such as diet.
I have to agree with you, Timmy. I mean, as unique as it is, we have the ability now to produce things to such a degree of accuracy that, you know, in terms of the wow factor of a display, but the real knowledge is in the science behind it, isn't it? It's the understanding, and that's what archaeology is about in its entirety, really. The object themselves is nothing without really putting it in context and analysing it so that we can build up these bigger pictures. I mean, it would be so exciting to know where it came from. And also the gender, I think, because that helps in some ways towards trying to answer some of the questions that you've posed. So, oh, it's just so exciting. But then, you know, the responsibility of finds is another side of it, isn't it? And that's why we're constantly weighing up the decision-making process, as you say.
It's not easy, but I think you've just pushed me over the edge to one side with the decision. I'm not going to tell you which yet.
Well, I hope it's the one that generates more knowledge and understanding, Timmy. Well, I really, really appreciate you joining us today. It was just, it's such an exciting find. And hopefully we'll be back to talk to you about more exciting finds in the future.
Lucy, isn't it an incredible thing about maritime archaeology, how two people can spend well over 15 minutes talking about a single human tooth? I think that's absolutely amazing.
You're absolutely right, Timmy. I mean, it's such a, yeah, we live in a very exciting world, I think. And particularly finds from underwater, because they just can tell us stories that you can't access through finds on land or history books. And no, it's just brilliant. And I really, really appreciate you coming and talking to us today. And also, let's not forget, we have an exciting opportunity coming up for our listeners at the beginning of April, when we're holding the big conference. You're hosting this conference, I believe, Timmy, the HFF second one in our series, the Honor Frost Foundation.
Yes, it's under the Med tool. The first one was held in Cyprus very successfully. And, you know, we're pushing to have this big conference in person because, you know, after 2 years of the pandemic, it would be great to have everybody, you know, chatting away and meeting and meeting up after all this time. And not just for us academics, but, you know, just like we've shared the story about the tooth, there are going to be 101 stories and more being spoken about and shared at this conference between the 6th and 10th of April this year.
Absolutely. And the Honor Frost Foundation is planning to do some live interviews with some of those people that are giving papers and telling us more exciting stories about discoveries from underwater. So hopefully our listeners will tune in at the beginning of April. So thanks so much, Timmy. I'm sure that we'll be talking again soon and hearing more about the exciting discoveries from 110 metres under the water. I still think you're ridiculously brave.
There is more to come, Lucy, much more to come.
Well, thank you very much for listening. This was the Honor Frost Foundation Dive and Dig news podcast, a new series that we're running at the moment. And I hope you'll tune in to listen some more in the future. Bye.